Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. The Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by GolfBetterTucson.com. Be sure to check out our website and follow us on Instagram and all other social media. Today we have on professional golfer, commentator, podcaster, and radio host, Colt Knost. Colt is one of the funniest and best guys on the PGA Tour. Well-liked by his peers and others, many doors and opportunities are opening for Colt outside of his playing career. Today we talk with him about his game, life on tour, and a little bit of the legend, Anthony Kim. Enjoy. All right, Colt, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. So most people don't know the level of golf you've played at. Can you give us a brief history of your amateur and professional career?
Yeah, I would say my golf career has kind of been just a steady progression. I didn't start playing golf till I was 13 years old, and played in high school, didn't know if I was going to be able to play in college, got a few offers, ended up at SMU in Dallas, and kind of the same thing when I got to college. I didn't know if I was going to play professional golf, just wanted to try to get as good as I could, and kept getting better and better. And then my senior year in 2007, I had my breakout year. I Monday qualified for the Byron Nelson, made the cut, which was a big deal for me, and then went on to win the Pub Links and the USAM that summer, and was on the winning Walker Cup team, number one amateur in the world, and things were about as good as they could be. And I decided to forego the Masters and turn pro after the Walker Cup. I was able to get quite a few sponsor exemptions out on tour, and got my web.com tour card at a Q school, and then won twice pretty early in my rookie season out there. And to be honest, golf felt pretty easy, and it just didn't seem like much was going to stop me. I kind of thought I would just go out on the PGA Tour and, be a very solid player and compete, and planned on winning. Things changed. My work ethic wasn't quite there. I got distracted by a lot of things that come with the PGA Tour. I had a lot of fun, but my golf was nothing like I thought it should be or what I expected it to be. It was kind of a humbling experience, and I had a really bad rookie year on the PGA Tour and was forced to go back down and, earn my way back up. And then I went on a great run before I ended up getting hurt and, found myself in contention quite a few times on tour. And, I had a great experience out there. And unfortunately, I think my golf playing career is kind of coming to an end. I've had some other opportunities come up, but it's been an absolute blast, and I've loved every minute of it.
In retrospect, would there be anything that you would have done differently, maybe your rookie year on tour?
I think the rookie year is always hard for guys just because the PGA Tour is such a different level. With the amount of, the crowds, it's a different deal. The amount of opportunities you have as far as, there's parties. There's just so many more distractions, as I can say. There's opportunities that take you away from golf, which is great. You're in the entertaining business, and I kind of got wrapped up in all this as being a 22, 23 year old kid with more money than I've ever seen, and the ability to do a lot of cool things, and golf kind of wasn't the priority when it's normally always has been. So I probably would have liked to have been a little more focused, and that's one thing I tell all the young kids coming out now. I'm like, listen, I didn't do it the right way, and I think I can help a lot of young kids that are coming out, and just like from experience, I know how I acted on the golf course and off the golf course, and I think I can help a lot of those young kids. And and I think that's how kids learn, though. They learn from experienced people, and not try not to make the same mistakes as older guys did.
And what would be some of that advice, maybe some general advice you would give to those trying to make it on tour, or if they're battling on mini tours? What would some of that information be?
Yeah, as far as like guys coming out on tour, it's just, listen, I know the PGA Tour is cool and all. There's club reps everywhere. There's people everywhere. You don't need to be at the golf course 10 hours a day. Save your energy for when the tournament starts. It's okay to say no to people. You're going to get pulled in every which direction. Guys are going to be like, oh, try this shaft, try this head, try this, try that. And it's perfectly fine to say no. You're not required to do any of that. And same thing as off the course. Come to this party. It's going to be, so-and-so's playing. It's going to be fun. Do this. It's perfectly fine to say no. There's plenty of time in your off weeks and in the off season to party and have fun and all you want. And unfortunately, that's something, I didn't really do the best. When I came back and I played really well in 15 and 16 were my two best years on tour. I mean, golf was my focus and not the other stuff. And that's probably the reason I played well.
And you've had some injuries yourself. How often do injuries occur at the tour level? And in your opinion, are they technique based or is it just essentially, you know, you're playing golf, you're hitting the ground a lot, you're at high speed for the most part. Is it more the game itself or would you say it's more technique in those injuries occurring?
I mean, for me personally, it's hard to say like what causes other people's injuries, yeah. But for me, I think we've definitely broken it down to the way I swung the golf club was the reason I hurt my wrist and my left thumb. I used my hands a lot in my golf swing, which isn't good when you're playing 30, 35 weeks a year. You know, it just puts a lot of stress on it. And now that I've come back from injury and I've changed my golf swing some, granted, my game hasn't been as good, but there's no pain, which is nice. I mean, I played 2016 without practicing. I would literally warm up. I was allowed to warm up for 20 to 30 minutes and then go play. And I was never allowed to hit balls after a round of golf. And I played pretty great all year until the FedEx Cup playoffs. So it's kind of weird. You look at it that way. You're just like, oh, maybe practicing is kind of overrated. But I just knew I couldn't. So I just went out and just played golf as hard as I could. And whatever happened, happened.
So now you've gotten a little bit into commentating. In my opinion, you do a fantastic job. I think one of the best was when you text Brooks when he wasn't, it was in Memphis, when he wasn't at the course an hour before his tee time when he texted you back. I thought that was just brilliant. So how did you get into commentating and what are your thoughts so far about it?
Yeah, you know, I love doing it. It kind of came out of nowhere. When I was hurt, I'll never forget. I was laying in bed in Vegas one morning, and I got a phone call from a number I didn't know, and I didn't answer it. And then I got this voicemail. It was Ross Molloy from CBS, who hires all the talent there. And he's like, "Hey, heard a lot about you. Would love to meet you and give you a shot at this thing." So I was like, "Sure. I mean, sounds great. I love being around the game of golf. I think I'm a very good student of it. I watch a lot of golf, and I think I can bring a different perspective and a little energy to it. You know, I think I have a little bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah,
can joke around quite a bit. And, so they gave me three events last year, and then I'm signed on to do seven this year. So
awesome!
It's been great. And then me and my buddy Drew Stoltz have a Sirius XM radio show that's just been going awesome. We've moved to 3 days a week.
Sweet.
And, I talk a lot of golf. That's for sure.
What have you found are the hardest and easiest parts of commentating on course?
The hardest part is just all the stuff that's going on that people don't know about. I mean, the producer talking in your ear, you know, it moves pretty quick out there. You really got to pay attention because, you know, even though you're sitting in, say, 16 tower, you're required to talk about five other holes. And so you got to pay attention when we're going to those holes and, you know, it, like I said, it moves fast. And so they want you to show your sense of humor and show your personality, but sometimes you only got 8 or 9 seconds to come up with something witty about the guy that's out there hitting a shot. But I enjoy it. I do look at it as a challenge, and I think I've gotten better every time I've done it, more and more comfortable for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's something I really enjoy. It's something I look forward to doing more. I love being around the game. So this is just another way of keeping me in it. And, you know, all the players have been so supportive and very complimentary of my work out there. Like I mean, I try to be fair, but I'm going to be honest at the same time. I mean, if a guy throws up on himself, I'm going to say it. I mean, that's just how it is. I think that's my job.
Would you say that having the Sirius XM show has helped you maybe verbalize things better on the course when you're commentating?
Yeah, I think it has. Since I've really got into the Sirius show, I haven't commentated yet. I start back in New Orleans.
Okay.
But I think it's helped me a lot just with being able to show my personality, how to change up my levels and not be monotone and all that. So yeah, I think it's really, really has helped. And I've gotten some great advice. I mean, I've been lucky enough. Gary McCord kind of took me under his wing last year and helped me a ton. I mean, Joe Buck is a good friend of mine who I think is one of the best in the business at football and baseball. I give him a hard time about golf. I don't think he's good at it. But, you know, And Charles Barkley is another guy that's been a great friend who I think is the epitome of a sports analyst. I think he's as good as they come. I mean, he makes it fun. he explains it so well, and he's a guy that I really look up to.
Now, so I want to talk just a little bit about Anthony Kim, talk about the first time that you met Anthony Kim. What was that like? Where did you meet him? Give us a little bit of info on that.
Yeah, so Anthony and I are actually like 4 days apart in age. Oh. So I knew of him in AJGA. I didn't play that much AJGA growing up. I started to a little bit my last year. So I knew of him, but I didn't really know him. And then we got to know each other in college a little bit when he played at Oklahoma. And we kind of hit it off, and obviously he was their best player. And I played in the number one spot for SMU quite a bit. So we got paired together quite a bit, just kind of started off a friendship. His golf coach at the time, when he was still playing in college and even in professional, was Adam Schreiber. And he was based in Dallas at the time. So mm-hmm. Anthony would come down when he was in college and stay at my apartment.
Oh, wow.
And go work with Adam. And then he turned pro after his junior year and lived in Dallas. So we played a lot of golf together, hung out. I mean, obviously, he was an absolute superstar. And, we had a really, really nice friendship, I thought. We were pretty close there for a long time. And then once we turned, both were professionals out on the PGA Tour, we kind of went our separate ways a little bit. I mean, we were still friendly, but we weren't hanging out like we used to, going to dinners and stuff like that. But, I mean, I tell everybody this day, I've played with pretty much everybody but Tiger, and he's the best I've ever seen. I mean, it's just, it was an absolute joke how good the kid was at the game. And I know he got hurt and all this, and, you know, I don't know all the details of the insurance policy and all that, but it's just, it's a shame because I think he made golf so much fun to watch. I mean, he was just a special, special talent.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you heard from him at all lately? Does he still play? Do you know, and at what level, if you've heard anything?
No, I mean, I haven't seen him in 2 years. I saw him at the Byron. I was at dinner back home in Dallas during the Byron Nelson, and he yelled at me from across the parking lot. And I hadn't seen him forever, and we said hi, you know, hugged it out. He had a new phone number, exchanged phone numbers,
but nice.
I haven't really reached out or talked to him much since. I mean, he's kind of like, we always say, I mean, he's kind of like Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Like, I mean, he's the guy, it's just like, oh, everybody's like, oh my God, Anthony Kim's out here hitting balls, or Anthony Kim's here. I mean, he's a tough one to find, and a tough one to get a hold to, and it seems like everybody wants a piece of him still.
Yeah. Is there any, last Anthony Kim question, any fun stories that you had back in, you know, you guys are both absolute studs in college. Any fun stories, maybe on or off the course, that you can share?
We had a lot of fun ones that I can't share. he liked to have a good time just like I do. But, I mean, as far as on the golf course, I mean, we played all the time. And, I mean, it was just it was like you just laugh because the guy never would miss a golf shot. It was unreal. Like, I mean, we'd go out and play 2-3 days in a row, and he'd shoot 63, 64, 63. And it was just, like, so easy. And I'm like, this is – he just made it look so easy. Mm-hmm. It was absurd. I've never seen anyone like it. I mean, other than Tiger and, you know, the 2000s, I mean, it literally looked like a video game out there when Anthony would play golf. I mean, he drove it far. He drove it straight. He had his irons close, and he putted good. And his short game was pretty good. He had zero weaknesses, obviously zero fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you remember when he played the Ryder Cup at Valhalla, I mean, he went at Sergio. He didn't care who it was. He went right at him and took everyone down.
So what does the future hold for Colt Noth?
Yeah, so, you know, I've got one start left on a major medical out on tour, and I'm going to use it at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. So unless something crazy happens and I get hot and I win or, you know, top two or three, that's probably the end of my playing career for now. And it's something I'm perfectly fine with, to be honest. I'm excited about what the future holds with the broadcasting, the SiriusXM stuff. I mean, I'm going to miss playing like crazy. There's nothing more fun to me than going out there with the guys and competing week in and week out. But, you know, the game's changed a lot. It's so distance. I mean, it favors the bombers now, which is tough for me because I don't hit that far. And, you know, I'm fine with it. Games change. I mean, the way hockey's played now has changed. The way football's changed. I mean, everything changes. So it's just kind of like it is what it is. And I'm very happy with whatever happens.
Well, Colt, thanks so much for being on. What's the best way for people to maybe reach out to you or to follow you? Talk about your XM, SiriusXM show, and some other ways that people can reach out to you.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Colt Nost. Our radio show on SiriusXM, which is XM 92 or Sirius 208, is called Gravy and the Sleaze. It's every Monday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, and it's a blast. We try to make it really fun. And then pretty soon we'll be having a podcast as well. It's going to be called the Subpar Podcast on golf.com, which will be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Well, awesome. Well,
so
hey,
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you do fantastic. I think you're a no-brainer when it comes to commentating. You're great with the players. You're funny. I think you're everything that the modern game needs in a broadcaster. So I hope you can continue to do it. Obviously, I think the networks will see what a star you are. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for being on. We appreciate your time. And have a great rest of your night, buddy.
I appreciate it. You too.
Colt is as genuine and refreshing as they come. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We finished up the editing of this podcast after the 2020 Phoenix Open, where Colt ended up missing the cut and announcing his retirement from professional golf. As that phase of his life is ending, his second phase with his radio show, new podcast, on-course commentating, and I'm sure many other opportunities, is just starting to take off. We thank him so much for his time and being on our podcast. Thanks again for listening and following along with the Golf Better Podcast. Be sure to leave a review on your podcast platform of choice and share with your golfing crew. Let us know if you ever have any ideas for the show as well. Until next time.